information you need to take your marriage, family, and personal life to the next level.
Weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
This is D.L. Hudson. Welcome to Church and Culture. This show is devoted to exploring the interaction between our faith and our culture. Each week, I will talk with expert guests on topics ranging from literature, art, and music to politics, liturgy, spirituality, and education. Thank you for joining us. My guest in this first hour has done a remarkable thing. His name is Gary Chartrand. By profession, he is the executive chairman of a very large sales and marketing company called Acosta, which is headquartered there in Jacksonville, but has over 22,000 people employed in the United States and Canada. It's a big company, an important company, but we're not talking about his company today. We're talking about a film that he and his wife, Nancy, have made about a Polish priest who was martyred in 1984. And I'd watched the film this morning. In fact, I stopped watching it, or I came to the end only 10 or 15 minutes ago, and I'm still breathing hard. It's such a powerful movie. All I can say to you, Gary, is thank you and thank Nancy for telling this story.
Well, thank you, D.L. I believe it was the Holy Spirit, quite frankly, that touched me and my wife, and that's how we started on this journey a couple of years ago to make this film. And I'd be happy to tell you exactly how it came about.
Yeah, evidently you and your wife went to Poland on a pilgrimage with your parish priest. Tell us a little about that story.
Yeah, first of all, my wife is Polish, second generation Polish, and she had never been to Poland. And our parish priest was Father Remek from Poland. Came here when he was early 20s. Went to the seminary, became a priest. Born, brought up in Poland, and he organized a trip back in 2010 to visit all the holy sites in Poland. So we went over, we saw where Pope John Paul was born, where he was ordained secretly, where we went to Our Lady of Częstochowa, we went to the Divine Mercy, and we found ourselves in Warsaw on the way back. Towards the end of the trip, we went to a church called St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, and said that he celebrated Mass. We came out of the church. It was raining, I remember, raining pretty heavy. There was a priest buried in the front of that church, and his name was Blessed Father Jerzy Pawaruszko. We were supposed to go on a walking tour of Poland, of Warsaw that day, and because it was raining, we were trying to kill some time, and there was a museum of this priest underneath the church in the basement, and we found an English-speaking lady that had a key. It was locked, actually. It was closed that day, but she opened it up for us. We went through and learned about the life and the brutal murder of Father Jerzy Pawaruszko. And one of the things that people don't realize is that the end of communism in Eastern Europe actually began in Poland, and Father Jerzy, we all know Lech Walesa, in the solidarity.
Yes, we do. We know his name, but we don't know Father Jerzy.
We don't know Jerzy. Well, Father Jerzy was the spiritual leader on the solidarity movement beginning in the 80s. And he became a very popular, outspoken priest on freedom, the truth, human dignity, human rights, and he spoke out vehemently against communism.
Well, let me interrupt you just a second. I'm talking to Gary Chartrand about the remarkable movie, 90-minute documentary on the life of Father Jerzy, and I'm going to try to pronounce it, Papayusko.
Is
that close?
Yes. That is.
Who was martyred for the faith in 1984. You just used a word to describe how he spoke.
Right.
And I've just watched the film that you made, and one thing that touched me about the way he spoke is his gentleness.
Yeah.
Firm, commanding gentleness. He looks and acts so humble. There's nothing in him, there didn't seem to be a bone in his body that is excited at the crowd of 50,000 people that he's addressing, or the cheers, or the adulation. He looked to me like a man totally committed, humble, and frankly, on a mission. Is that your impression?
Absolutely. One of the things that was really special about him was he was an ordinary priest. He connected very well with the working class people. In fact, your listeners may remember that in 1980 was the beginning of the Solidarity Movement. In 1979, Pope John Paul came back to Poland and addressed about 1 million people in Victory Square, and he basically said to them, you know, you're living in slumber. You need to wake up. And he asked for the Holy Spirit to come down on the land and change the land. And when he left, the Gdansk steel mill went on strike, 17,000 steel workers. And then later, in solidarity of that strike in Warsaw, Huta Bazara went on strike.
That's a steel mill.
The steel mill, correct.
Now, 10,000 employees went on strike.
10,000 people. They locked themselves in. A country of, 96% Catholic, they realized that they couldn't go to Mass on Sunday, so they asked for a priest to come in to say Mass.
Three of the steelworkers snuck out.
They did, right. They snuck out. They went to see the primate, and they asked for a priest. And the priest that they selected was Father Jerzy Papayusko,
who had been ordained in 1972,
correct.
Who came from very poor backgrounds, but
yeah,
who he had to go through 2 years of required military training under the communists, where they put him in a special group where they tried to teach him atheism. He would not remove his scapular. He would not throw away his rosary and so forth. And in your documentary, it talks about the fact that he was, for the whole 2 years, constantly punished for his faith. He was left to stand outside in the freezing cold all night with no shoes on, for example. And he never buckled.
Break him. Yeah.
He never
buckled. That's right. That was the conviction that he had. He was a man of strong faith, strong conviction, and then, most importantly, courage. He had the courage to speak the truth in a country full of lies. And
but he wasn't a shouter at all. That's
no,
the thing that
no.
He was very collected. Serene. He's almost serene in a way when he's talking.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and in the movie, which was, when we decided to make the movie, we went back to TV Polsky and got a lot of the original stock footage. So when you see the movie, as you just did, you actually see Father Jerzy in stock footage in his own voice.
Also being in an interview, not just preaching, right. But in an interview.
Correct.
And he, by the way, he has the face of a kind, gentle, loving man, but absolutely not a trace of pride or even self-awareness. He seems to be a complete servant to his people, his nation, his church. And tell the story about the monthly masses for Poland that were started in 1980 and the impact they had.
Sure. Well, they were fighting for their freedom. In 1980, the Solidarity movement began with those strikes. The government acquiesced to them and started to give them a little bit of freedom. And then in 1981, they declared martial law. They thought it was getting out of control, so they declared martial law. They basically just shut the country down. And Father Jerzy, or Father Yeje, was asked by his priest to say a monthly mass for the freedom of Poland. And so once a month he would say a mass, and it wasn't, it was a mass, but he was very smart about bringing the right people together, so he brought, you know, artists and journalists and other folks together, and the crowds would grow each month. And in fact, one of the things that you see on the stock footage is, the, to me, the amazement of the amount of people, thousands, 20.
Yeah, absolutely people. Overflowing.
Overflowing. People would come and listen to his mass. And they would, they used a unity symbol.
Yeah, hold up two fingers like a victory sign or something like that.
The idea was victory, and then he would ask them to bring a cross as well. So the symbol was victory through Christ, not through the sword, not through violence. In fact, he preached a nonviolent approach. And he said the country can't be free if we use force. So he said, keep your dignity, stand tall, and stand up for your rights, and you know you should be free. And if enough of us come together in real unity, then eventually we will be successful.
It's so interesting, Gary, that your documentary makes a point several times that yes, he would have 10, 20, 30,000 people in front of him, but it was the recordings of his homilies that went out over radio, say Catholic Free Europe and so forth,
yeah,
that really multiplied his impact.
Yeah. They would tape his sermons and they would usher them out of the country to Radio Free Europe, and they'd blast them back into the country and to other countries in Eastern Europe. So he became very popular in his stance about freedom, about human rights, about justice, about the truth, and how man, you know, should be free. And
his theme was truth.
Truth.
His major theme was truth. And it's interesting that he didn't really even have to define what he meant by it, because everybody knew. Everybody knew he was talking about the truth, that is the freedom of the human person.
Correct. In fact, one of the quotes that I don't think it's in the movie specifically, in reading about him and doing my homework on it, he said this about truth that I'd like to share with your listeners.
Sure.
He said, this is quoted from Father Yerzy. You have to live in truth to remain spiritually free. Our slavery stems from our surrender to the rule of the lie.
Yeah.
Our failure to unmask the lie and to protect against it. Instead of correcting the lie, we keep silent or pretend to believe it is the truth. Telling the truth with courage is a way leading directly to freedom. To do this, we must overcome fear. This fear makes us act against our conscience, and it is by means of conscience that we measure truth.
But he did know very early on there was going to be a price to pay.
Yes, he did.
And it seems like the moment those crowds showed up, after he had gone inside the Gdansk shipyards and celebrated mass, the moment he became, his apartment became sort of headquarters or operation central for the underground movement, I think he knew where he was headed.
I think he did too. And, you know, the one part of the movie that I think is, you know, that moment of truth, if you will, when Cardinal Palemp called him in, and a number of Father Jerzy's friends were very worried about him because things were heating up, and they were trying to get the Cardinal to send Father Yeje off to Rome to let things cool down. And the Cardinal said to him, you know, your friends are worried about you. You know, we can send you off to Rome for a year or so to let things cool down. And he would not go. He couldn't fathom for a minute that he would go and, you know, save himself, if you will, and leave all his followers behind in the, you know, terrible situation that they were in martial law and how the government was oppressing people. And so he said, no, I'm not going to come.
He was getting visibly more and more worn out. I'm talking with Gary Chartrand, who, along with his wife Nancy, produced a wonderful 90-minute documentary. Wonderful is really understatement. The documentary is entitled Messenger of the Truth, and it's about a 20th century martyr who has now been proclaimed blessed, and I'm just going to pronounce it the best I can, Gary, Father Jerzy Papaluska. And I'm telling all my listeners, you have to see this film. You will be inspired. And if you look at it in the context of our own country and the challenges that we are facing as Catholics with our religious liberty at stake, I think it has a very direct message for our time and for our, not just our clergy, but our lay people. In fact, the little segment you had on Carol Wojtyla's election to the papacy mentioned that Wojtyla was telling the Polish people, you have to do it. I will support you, but you have to do it.
That's right.
Now, how do people get this documentary? I know it's going to be broadcast and has been broadcast on public television. Talk a little bit about how they can find it on public television or how they can acquire it.
Sure. MessengerOfTheTruth.com is the website, MessengerOfTheTruth.com. And if you go to the website, there's a couple of things. One, the DVD is for sale. And we also have a book called Messenger of the Truth. It was actually a book that was written in 1987, originally called The Priest and the Policeman. It was rewritten as we did this movie, and it's some new information that came out through the research. So the DVD and the book are for sale on the website. And there's a listing on the PBS stations. As they start to come in to show this movie, we're listing them on the website as to which city and what time and date that they'll be shown.
So if you go to messengerofthetruth.com, our listeners can see when and where the documentary will be shown on public television, but you can also buy the DVD directly. And I'm assuming that the great thing they could do is take this documentary to their parish, advertise that it's going to be shown and get a crowd in a room. And once you've seen this film, you'll want to do the same thing. You will want to show it to everyone you know. In fact, it's very interesting, Gary, that they interviewed the guy who called himself an agnostic.
Right.
And he said, well, you know, I don't even believe it, and I went to his masses.
Yeah.
He said there were a lot of us like that, intellectuals, actors, poets. It seemed as if a kind of a who's who of Warsaw in Poland was drawn to him.
Absolutely.
Which is a highly cultured, highly refined and intellectual culture. I mean, you know, that's no mean achievement for a poor parish priest to attract that kind of crowd.
Yeah, and I think that absolutely. And I've shown this at a private screening in New York and Chicago, here in Jacksonville, also in Boston, and all four of them, we had huge crowds. It's amazing how Father Jerzy is still attracting crowds. And then we have this deal with public television for the next 2 years. Any public television station that wants to can show this on limited times. But one of the things that I wanted to mention to you, why I think this word, his word, needs to still get out, is how this came about. I mentioned to you that I was in the basement of the church in 2010 going through the museum. And when I got back into the bus, I said to my priest friend, Father Remick, how come we don't know about this man? Because what he did was so spectacular, because when the wall did come down, over a billion people now live in a free society.
By the way, just as significant as Lech Walesa.
Oh, no question.
That's what's so startling. Right.
Yeah, in fact, I said to my priest, I remember vividly, we need to make a movie about this priest. And I came home, lived in Jacksonville, Florida. A year went by. He called me one day and said, you're not going to believe this. There are two people in Jacksonville, Florida that want to make a movie about Father Diego, and they have the rights to make a documentary film. And they're less than a mile from your office.
That is incredible. And they did a great job, but by the way.
Unbelievable.
And they did a great job. How long did it take them to actually, from start to finish, make the film?
Almost 2 years.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, they've got some incredible interview for footage.
Yes.
I mean, they've got footage with the driver who was driving when Father was kidnapped by the secret police. They've got footage of the brother and sister of Father. They've got footage with everybody who was closest to him, including Cardinal Glemp.
And by the way, after we interviewed Cardinal Glemp, I think it was about 4 or 5 months after we interviewed him, he passed away.
Yeah, I mean, he was old. I was even surprised to see him show up.
Yeah.
By the way, we have a few minutes left in this segment, but there was a moment in the documentary my jaw dropped, and that is when, after one of Father Jerzy's particularly large liturgies, he was called in to Cardinal Glemp's office, and basically he was, how shall I put it? He was dressed down.
He got his butt chewed.
Yeah. Now, is there any more background on why Glemp would do that?
Well, I think, you know, and we researched that. He would say that he wasn't that rough on him, I guess, is what he told us.
Well, that's kind of how he came across in the interview.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he knew things were really heating up, and I think he was trying to put some fear into him to some degree to calm him down a little bit and not speak out maybe as boldly, because he was afraid for his life. That's what I would say, is he was trying to help.
Kind of protect him from himself a little bit?
Try to protect him, yeah. But he really kind of dressed him down pretty good. He was basically, hey, you're getting too big for your britches here, you know, calm it down and, you know, get out of my office and cool it. That was kind of what I got out of that interview.
Well, you see, I mean, it's a tribute to your documentary that I can sit here and practically remember the whole thing. I mean, it's just so well done. And the music's gorgeous, too. The way it starts off with that solo cello, just lovely. And it is, to me, the most remarkable thing that even those of us who have even a passing knowledge of the Solidarity movement in Poland, which, of course, is connected with John Paul II, and as with Cardinal Wojtyla before he became Pope, it's connected to a certain way with Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev and Maggie Thatcher, and you know. But here, the man who really ignited the flame, I mean, the guy who really started the fire that became Solidarity and became the overturning of communist dictatorship in Poland, was this priest that I had never heard of.
I had never heard of him either. And that's what was just so amazing to me when I learned of him and the courage that he had and the fact that none of us, we all knew about Lech Walesa, but we didn't know about this priest. That's why we wanted to make the movie.
And by the way, it's obvious in the footage where Walesa is with Father. You can see in the face and eyes of Walesa how much he regards and respects Father.
Right.
He's pushing him ahead, putting him out in front. It was the very touching moment in the movie.
Yes. Yeah, that's when they declared amnesty and let some of the people out of prison, and then they wanted to recognize both Lech Walesa and Father Jerzy, and they buried him in flowers. Yeah, that's a great scene as well.
What is the? Give us a little timeline. We have a few minutes left in the segment on the cause of Father Popolusko.
In terms of his beatification and canonization?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he was beatified in 2010. And as you know, in the Catholic faith, through martyrdom, there's one miracle, not two, that's needed. There have been, from what we understand, several miracles that have been put forth. Nothing yet has come out of the Vatican.
Are they under consideration?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
But from what we understand, they are, yeah.
Well, I'd be very surprised if this didn't end up being canonized.
Oh, we believe that he will be, for sure. And hopefully maybe this documentary will help even spread the word even more in terms of, you know, what he did for not only the Polish people, but for all people in Eastern Europe. You know, we all have heard of C.S. Lewis.
Sure.
And I read his quotes every day. I have an app. And it was one of a couple of days ago that I read, actually posted on Facebook, on the Facebook page. And it has a picture of Father Jerzy and the quote from C.S. Lewis, which I think is very applicable. It says, "Since it is so likely that children will meet cruel enemies, let them at least have heard of brave knights and heroic courage. Otherwise, you are making their destiny not brighter but darker." And isn't that true?
That is so true. And Lewis, more than anyone else, as a scholar of Renaissance and medieval literature and as an author of his own Narnia tales, that's exactly what he was trying to do. I'm talking with Gary Chartrand of Ponte Vedra, Florida, who, along with his wife, Nancy, have produced wonderful 90-minute documentary, Messenger of the Truth, about a martyred priest in Poland, which you must see. And in order to see it, you can go to messengeroftheTruth.com, where you can see the schedule that's airing on public television, but also how you can buy the DVD itself. And right after this message, I'm going to come back with Gary Chartrand and keep talking. Please join us.
The Ugly Duckling. We all know the classic story, but have you ever seen it put to music live on stage? Explorers Homeschool Drama Troupe will perform the musical Honk at the Lydia Mendelson Theater on U of M's campus in Ann Arbor on May 30th at 7 p.m. and May 31st at 2 p.m. and then again at 7 p.m. Tickets are reasonably priced, with a $35 family ticket available for families of all sizes. Contact the Michigan Union Ticket Office online at muto.umich.edu or 734-763-8587. Family tickets only available by phone or in person. You'll delight in the adorable ducklings and barnyard animals. Cry for poor ugly. Be thrilled at his transformation, and then you'll be singing the catchy songs on your way home. Bring the whole family for a musical you won't soon forget. Once again, to purchase tickets, contact the Michigan Union Ticket Office online at muto.umich.edu or 734-763-8587. See you there.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Paul states in Romans, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Faith invites us to ponder the good news that stirs the heart, waiting for a response. Responding in faith allows the Spirit to recreate us in His image and prompt us to bring His glory into a darkened world. This reality of being made new by faith begins with baptism, when we receive the Spirit and are made children of God. The Catechism teaches that faith in God brings unity and gives true dignity to all people, because all are made in the image and likeness of God. Let us pray that we are attuned to the promptings of the Spirit to be made more into God's image, sharing the unity and dignity we all have, and preaching the good news as we go about our daily lives. This message is brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Talking with Gary Chartrand from Ponte Vedra, Florida, who has co-produced with his wife Nancy a really remarkable and moving documentary about the life and witness and martyrdom of a Polish priest in 1984, Father Jerzy, who was effectively the spark that started the Solidarity Movement,
the underground movement and eventually ridding Poland of its communist dictatorship. Gary, one of the chapters in your documentary focuses on the attempt of the secret police to intimidate Father by going through one of the women who worked for him. Could you tell us that story?
Yes, it was during martial law. They shut down everything, and so they actually turned the basement of his church, St. Stanislaus, into a supplies depot, if you will. In fact, a lot of medicines were held there. You know, children with diabetes couldn't get insulin, and there was a lady, her name was Baba Sadowska, and she was an aide to the priest and the Father Jerzy, and so she would help get medicine out to the community and find out where the sick children were, and she was just a helper. And one day, they broke into her office, the secret police broke into her office. They took her hand and they jammed it into a file cabinet and broke her hand. And they said to her, stay away from the priest, trying to scare her. So she immediately went to Father Jerzy, told him what happened. They fixed up her hand, bandaged it up. And Father Jerzy said to her, you know, you need to stay away. These people we don't know what they're going to do. So she ignored him and she continued to help him because she was just a very sincere, faithful person. And within a week, her son, Gregor Zuzemek, he was 19 years old, he just finished taking his exams. And the secret police cornered him in downtown Warsaw and beat him up. They called an ambulance. Someone called an ambulance. They took the child, Gregor Strzemek, to the hospital. They operated on him, and they found out that his entire insides were smashed. They sewed him back up, and he passed.
Yeah, he was bleeding to death internally.
He bled to death. And so, and the other thing that happened that's covered, I think, very clearly in the movie is this poor gentleman that drove him to the hospital in the ambulance.
Yeah, he was convicted of the crime.
They framed him. They said,
right.
Look, you are going to admit to murdering this, beating this kid, and if you don't, we'll do this to your son.
Yeah, I mean, the guy could stay in jail for 4 or 5 years, right?
Five years, yeah.
It's just amazing. I mean, it's the typical topsy-turvy world of dictatorship where falsity becomes truth and truth is falsity. I want to talk, Gary, a little bit about that drive back to Warsaw during which his car was stopped. He had a driver who was, I think, an ex-paratrooper, so he was quite capable of handling himself physically, but the car was stopped by three Secret Service of the communists, and they took out Father. Now, by the way, what I missed in the movie is how did the driver get away? I missed that.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. What happened was they pulled him over, and Father Jerzy was in the back seat. His driver was obviously driving the car. They asked Father Jerzy to get out of the car, and so he did. And from the testimony at the trial of these three people, what had happened is Father Jerzy got angry and said, hey, stop pushing me around, whatever. And they hit him over the head with a club, and they put him in the trunk. And they drove off. And when they were driving off, his driver was not in the trunk. He was on the, I believe he was in the back seat. And when they were turning a corner, when they had slowed down a little bit, maybe going 35, 40 miles an hour, he was a paratrooper.
And he jumped out and rolled away, right?
He just opened the door and he rolled out. And they just took off because they had the guy they wanted. That was the priest in the back of the trunk. And then he ran to tell people what had happened, that he had been kidnapped. So that's what happened at that time. From there, we have a testimony in the trial that they beat him to death and threw him in the river. He was found 11 days later. in the Vistula River. But what we really don't know is exactly what happened to him between October 19th when he was abducted and October 30th when he was found.
Well, one thing we do know, Gary, I mean, at least from the live footage that you have in your documentary, is that he was more than just beat up. He was mutilated.
Yeah, and who knows? We don't know how bad he was tortured.
His face evidently was completely, crushed. His brother said, except for the birthmark on him, he wouldn't have been able to recognize him.
That's correct.
So they made him pay. I mean, they felt it wasn't enough to kill him. They wanted to hurt him.
They tortured him. I'm sure they did. I mean, we don't know for sure, but the way he looked, and you saw the pictures, and there have been more graphic pictures that we didn't put in.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, to those who are listening, I plan on showing this to my 17-year-old either later tonight or tomorrow. This is perfectly acceptable, I'd say, from 11 and 12 up. There's nothing there that's going to shock or offend anybody. But the beauty of the documentary is the images are such that you get the realism of what was done to Father Jerzy and what was done to the teenage son of the woman who worked for him. You get it. And in a documentary, you need to sort of feel like you've been punched in the stomach a little bit, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we thought about doing, and we actually did do this, we actually did a reenactment of his murder. And we filmed it all, and we looked at it, but we decided to take it out because we don't know for sure exactly what happened to him. And a documentary, as you know, needs to be completely accurate. And so we decided to take it out and just show the police coming out of the river and the photographs that were taken of him that we got from Polsky TV.
You must have gotten incredible cooperation from Polish government, Polish media, because you see, there's nothing missing as far as I can tell.
No. The only thing that happened, because we got a lot of cooperation from the diocese in Warsaw, and they have a lot of information there. The one thing they told us, though, at the diocese was if you interview any of the three, they're all alive, they killed them, we won't give you anything. Because they didn't feel like there was any remorse at all from the three secret police, and they did not want us to interview them.
So, yeah, and at the very end, you find out that one guy spent only 4 years in prison and lived happily ever after. Another guy, I forget, he was sentenced to 25 years. When did he get out?
Two of them served somewhere around 12 years,
right.
I believe it was. And one of them only served 4 years. And all of them were sentenced to 25 years in prison. But from what I understand, they were sent to sort of the country club sort of jail system, if you know what I mean. So and one of them got out at full, and they're all still living on their state pension.
Yeah, I saw that. And is it the case that none of them have expressed remorse for killing this priest?
That's what we were told. We didn't go and talk to them, so that's what we were told, that they did not. Although one of them suffered a mental breakdown.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to do a follow up and try to get over there. And now that you've got all that you need from the government, find these guys and add it as an epilogue at some point.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
How many now? Have you only made that one trip to Poland?
I made one trip to Poland when I discovered Father Jerzy. The producers, I'm the executive producer, the producers and the directors have made a few trips over there. And then there's a lot of communication back and forth.
And how has the reception been? I read that Messenger of the Truth was released on April 1st.
Correct.
It's already been shown on one public television station, maybe more.
But how's the reception been thus far?
Well, it just started. We showed it in Detroit last week, Milwaukee the week before. Yesterday, Easter Sunday, it was shown here in my hometown in Jacksonville at 3 o'clock, and it was shown in L.A. last night, and it was shown in Chicago last night.
And it won an award in Poland.
We actually entered it into the Catholic Film Festival in Warsaw, and we received first place. And we also were given, we also just released that we were nominated and given a Christopher Award, which we're going to be accepting in May.
Good for them.
In New York.
I don't think you've seen the end of your awards, by the way, and I'm not trying just to blow smoke at you.
You know, I really think that we've got something special here, and it's just beginning. It's a journey right now, and everybody that has seen it has been blown away with the power of the film.
Now, let me tell you the thing that. Well, there's lots of things that hit me because obviously I'm talking about them, but
yeah.
One thing that I thought is a particularly good lesson for Catholics in the United States is that when the news came back to Warsaw 11 days later, Baba Jerzy's body had been found in a river and that it had been obviously abused, the thousands, and I think it was well over 50,000 people who went to the funeral, followed the coffin down the street, they went in absolute silence.
Yes.
To symbolize the nonviolent nature of the Catholic effort that Father represented. There was no tea partying going on.
Right.
Right? It was quiet. It was respectful. But it was
in his word.
And it was so much more powerful for that, don't you think?
Very much so. Very much so. They listened to what he said. And then there were people that were interviewed, John Moody, in fact, I think, said, this can't end. This can't end good because they're going to be problems. But they didn't, you know, they didn't set fire. They didn't kill the Polish police. They didn't riot. They kept their dignity. They spoke the truth, and they kept united, and they kept speaking out for freedom. And that's what was so amazing, that he had that kind of influence over that many people, that he, as he perished from this earth, they carried on exactly how he asked them to continue to carry on.
Now, one thing that I wanted to ask, did Father Jerzy have a close relationship with John Paul II?
From what I understand, they communicated by letter, but they actually never met. Pope John Paul, after he came in 1979, you know, went back to Rome. He didn't come back to Poland. I think he knew about what was going on. Obviously, he knew what was going on and paid pretty close attention to what was going on in Poland, but he never physically met Father Jerzy. They did, as you saw in that one scene, he did actually write a letter to Pope John Paul when martial law was declared.
Yeah, and he said he hoped there weren't any laws against that.
Right. Yeah, I hope there's not a law about writing to the Holy Father, right?
And did we know anything about a response from the Holy Father?
No, we don't. There wasn't really a response. And now, Pope John Paul did come to his grave. I'm not sure exactly when it was. He was killed in 1984. Well, I think in 85 or 86, he came back to Poland. And we have actually pictures of it that he knelt at his grave and prayed for Father Jerzy at his gravesite. But, you know, and at one time, when we did these screenings, we had questions, the Q&A after, and the question was, where was the Pope? Why didn't the Pope, you know, step in and save his life? And, you know, the answer, I guess, to some degree, and certainly as we talked earlier about him not wanting to go to Rome, was that Father Jerzy, perhaps like Christ, had to die. And
I think that was his self-awareness. I think that was also the self-awareness of his cardinal.
That's correct. I had a gentleman come up to me in New York when we did the screening, and he said, I was friends with Father Jerzy.
Wow.
I was sent to prison. And he said, in fact, I'm in the movie. I'm in that stock footage. And he said, we were just about ready to give up because they had all the tanks, all the bullets, all the guns, you know. And he said that when Father Jerzy was murdered, that united us even more, with more resolve to say that we cannot give up. We have to go on because he gave his life for it, so how can we quit? And he said that's what gave us really the inspiration to continue on the fight for their freedom.
You know, I was taking notes during the movie, and one thing that Father said in one of his masses for Poland is that your suffering is not wasted.
Right.
And that's what this gentleman was saying to you, is that his suffering in death, Father's, was not wasted.
Right. And, you know, right at the beginning of the movie, how Father Jerzy comes on and opens up the movie in his own voice, in his Polish voice, but the
right.
subtext. And he said that the priest's role is to proclaim the truth, to suffer for the truth, and die for the truth, if necessary.
Well, it's humbling to watch it. It's also, I don't know if you have the same feeling, and the feeling I had is, I could do so much more. I could do so much more. And I think this is going to be how people react to this film. It's like, just think of what is possible that we're not doing, and, you know, let's get on with it.
Well, what took place here, which is none of us, it's very difficult, I think, for us, even the faithful, to completely surrender to God. I think it's really hard to get to that place. And that's what moved me so much about Father Jerzy. It was complete surrender. That he said, hey, I'm turning my life over to you. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to speak the gospel. Whatever happens, happens. But I'm going to speak the truth.
Yeah, again, I'll go back and underscore something I said in our first half hour, and that is that without fist pumping, without yelling, screaming, without name calling, it was all done with, you might even say, elegance. And the people that followed him had the same spirit. That, you know, they didn't break windows, you know, they didn't break out and they didn't attack the police or the soldiers. They came to Mass peacefully, they left peacefully, and they participated in the burial funeral of this martyr in the same exact way. And so there is there a sign of their increased submission in their reaction to him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, for sure. Right, because they were in fear, not say in fear, but they were in danger of their lives as well. Right. Anytime they came to, you saw the violence of the lead-filled batons, and you never knew what the militia was going to do. And so anytime that they put themselves in harm's way, just actually going to listen to him. As you know, communism doesn't allow for free speech. They don't have the Second Amendment. They don't allow for assembly. They were allowed to go to church, but to assemble, that was not allowed. So anytime that they came to hear him, they put themselves in danger as well.
Interesting that one of the commentators in your documentary remarks that Soviets didn't know how to handle celebrities. Their system had no place for celebrities, and therefore they were threatened by celebrities. And here was Father Jerzy not only a celebrity himself, but he was consciously networking celebrities from the theater, from the movies, from the colleges, universities, from the literary community, and he was putting them all in the same room in his own apartment. So he was consciously creating a coalition that would have enough power, enough prestige to complement what he was doing in the church.
He was very smart. And he was smart enough to know, too, that if they started with a violent reaction, that they would get squashed.
Yeah.
Right? There was no way that they would be able to overcome, you know, the firepower that the communist regime had. So he was smart in saying, you know, we want to be nonviolent. I had a friend of mine that was actually saw the movie in Chicago, and much like you, was in awe of the movie. And he put me in touch with a gentleman out of Bosnia. And this gentleman's name is Saja Popovic. And he is one of the gentlemen that was responsible for the overthrow of Milosevic. Hmm. And he did it in a nonviolent way. And he runs an organization called CANVAS, Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies. I sent him the movie. He sent me a note back and said, we're in 50 countries around the world with our organization that are trying to overcome oppressive governments, and we teach exactly what Father Jerzy taught. And he asked me to send him 100 copies of the movie, which I did.
Wonderful.
And he was using the movie as a training tool around. And I spoke to him just a few weeks ago, and he asked me for additional 50 that he wanted to send into Ukraine.
That's wonderful. You know, it's funny, watching this movie, though, about Father Jerzy, it casts a different light on the phrase nonviolence for me.
Right.
Meaning that it casts, it's not meek and mild, it's not passive, it's not sort of forced humility or whatever. It's almost the violence of nonviolence, meaning the power of nonviolence to create change.
Yeah, I mean, it's a truth to power story for sure, right? I mean, he was relentless in the pursuit of the truth, as you mentioned earlier. And the Soviet-backed regime was relentless in the pursuit of power.
And they were so threatened by him. So threatened.
And they were threatened. They were.
I mean, they were evidently out in the crowd during mass, listening to conversations, taking names. You know, initially they had one secret police fellow assigned to them, and they added two more, and then the three of those were the ones that snatched him. Now, do we know whether or not these three secret police had personal animus against Father Jerzy, or were they just carrying out orders?
You know, I think a little bit of both. I think they were certainly carrying out orders, but I think they were aggravated, and they were just frustrated with the fact that they couldn't contain him. And they kept getting pressure from up above saying, one of the things that they said that we did some research on was that they said, you know, you got to stop the trains, just because people have come from all over the country. And they said, you got to stop the trains coming into Warsaw, and that will stop the crowds. And the comment back was, these people will walk to see this priest.
Right.
Get rid of the priest.
Wow.
That was what came back down.
I have been talking with Gary Chartrand from Ponte Vedra, Florida, who is in the daytime the executive chairman of a multinational sales and marketing company, Acosta. But he and his wife, Nancy, after a trip to Poland with their Polish priest, parish pastor, in 2010, discovered the story of this remarkable priest, Father Jerzy Popielusko. Am I saying it correctly?
Popielusko, yep.
Okay. And made a movie called Messenger of the Truth, which you must see. It's 90 minutes. You can go to messengeroftheTruth.com. You can find out when it's scheduled to be shown on public television in your area. You can also buy a DVD. And I guarantee you'll join me in thanking right now Gary and Nancy Chartrand for making this happen. And Gary, thank you for being on Church and Culture today.
Gil, thank you very much for allowing me to share this wonderful story, and I hope that Father Yoshe, Blessed Yoshe, will soon become one of our great saints.
Well, I hope you're on the front row when it happens.
Yes.
So please stick around after this message. We'll come back and talk to another very interesting guest.
This is a Marriage Minute with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse.
The bishops of the Roman Catholic Church are preparing for their synod on pastoral challenges to the family. Here at the Ruth Institute, we wish to ask the synod fathers to remember the victims of the sexual revolution. We have a petition respectfully asking them to do just that. Now you may think, I'm not Catholic, so why should I care what their bishops do? Think of the victims of the sexual revolution, people such as the children of divorce, the reluctantly divorced men and women, and post-abortive women. If you value the clarity of Catholic teaching on divorce, abortion, and other moral issues, we welcome you to sign our petition. These teachings were once common to all the Christian churches, and the bishops will appreciate knowing that non-Catholics care. Please go to RuthInstitute.org to sign our petition to the Synod Fathers. That's RuthInstitute.org.
This has been a Marriage Minute. Go to RuthInstitute.org. Remember the victims of the sexual revolution. That's RUTHInstitute.org.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. As Christians, we are taught that what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And in Ephesians, it reads, "No bad word should come from your mouth, but only what is good and edifying, that it may give grace to those who hear." If you want to have a clean mouth without having to use soap, start by cleansing the heart. Think back to those various points in life when the anger that festered inside eventually percolated up and right out of your mouth with words of hate for people who have hurt you, offended you, lied to you, used you, abused you, stole from you, or perhaps altered your life forever. When we hold on to the past, we cloud the love of Jesus Christ, and what emerges is the pain inflicted on us from mankind. If you find yourself cursing, spewing hateful words about others, or often negative about life, then close your mouth and open your heart. Fill it with the love of our Lord and let His words emerge from your mouth. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, the communication evangelist.
Hi, I'm Mike Stechelty, and on May 16th, the Michigan Catholic newspaper is proud to welcome Al Cresta as our newest columnist and contributor. Joining some of Metro Detroit's best-known Catholic evangelists such as Gary Machuda, Dave Armstrong, and others in an exciting new format we're calling the New Michigan Catholic. Join me in welcoming Al to the pages of the Michigan Catholic in our May 16th edition by getting your subscription at themichigancatholic.com or calling 313-224-8000.
Welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. The single most important moment in Catholic history took new meaning today when the East...
What would happen if Ave Maria Radio suddenly went off the air? Where would you hear Al or Teresa or Father John? Would you just be plumb out of luck? No, because you can hear us online on your own computer on virtually every smart device on the market today. You can access Ave Maria Radio no matter where you are in the world, regardless of time of day, as long as you have a computer or a smart device, like an iPhone or an iPad or an iPod or an Android, any smart device. All you need to do...